I'm talking about some fairly, in some sense, fairly old material, but with a bit of a new twist, and leading into, I think, some sort of interesting geometry and interesting ramifications. So it does touch on some old things. So maybe I'll just give a bit of a reminder on these things. So, well, anyway. So let's start with something old. So what I want to talk about is going to be living on a Riemann surface of genus G. And just to avoid trouble later, I'll take it greater or equal to 2. And it's also going to be involving a punctured Riemann surface. So I'm going to remove L points. I then want a vector bundle, which, to avoid sort of getting into trouble, I'll take for the wild to be of degree 0. And I'm going to look at a unitary connection. Let's see. Can I? Yeah. I always get the French and the English spelling of connection mixed up. So in some sense, this is one of the early important theorems about connections, which is the at least on a Riemann surface, which is the Narasimhan-Seshadri theorem. So you split this connection into its holomorphic and its anti-holomorphic piece. And then you have this simple map, which just takes Nabla, and you forget a bit of the data, and you get to 0, 1. So what this does is it takes, takes connections or unitary connections. Two complex structures. On E, so they're automatically integrable because in one dimension there's no room to have anything else. And if you want to get back, because you're looking at unitary things, you basically have to find this piece again. And if you want to get back, you just have to choose a metric. And then the question is which one. And the answer basically is you should try to choose a metric so that the result is flat. And the question, of course, is when can you do this? And the sort of beautiful result due to Narasimhan and Seshadri, but really sort of put into a variational context by Donaldson in his thesis, is to this happens when the bundle is stable, when bundle is. Okay, so you get this picture of irreducible, just to flat connections. Mod gauge to the moduli of stable bundles. And then from this side, of course, then integrating a connection you have this Riemann surface, and you integrate the connection around the loops on this thing, and it becomes the space of representations from the Riemann surface to, UN. Okay, and of course, mod conjugation. And as I put, so irreducible, it'll be an irreducible representation. One of the joys of it'll help keep you awake, of course, is looking at me and wondering when I'm going to trip on this. So that, just in case you. Okay, so that's a very nice situation. On this side, you can think of this as a. Sorry? Oh. Okay. On this side, you can think of the. This is a symplectic manifold or symplectic variety, if you. And it's an infinite dimensional quotient, symplectic quotient, essentially of the space of connections, and the moment map is just the curvature. On this side, of course, it's an algebraic quotient, so geometric invariant theory. Quotient, and but of a finite dimensional auxiliary space. So but you have these two spaces linked to each other. And indeed, if you want to know, one of the main vehicles for finding about this is basically thinking of it this way. Because this way gives you this very nice sort of variational picture, essentially sort of promoted by Etienne Bott, where you have the M as the space of minima. These are connections mod gauge. And you find out about the topology of these because essentially your curvature serves as a perfect Morse function on this. Okay, so there's a more general picture, which is that of parabolic bundles. So now, same as before, you've got a bundle on sigma, except now you're looking at a connection on sigma star. And you fix the holonomy around punctures. In fact, what you do is fix, i.e., you fix the conjugacy class of the parallel transport around the punctures. Let's call it alpha. And of course, this is the same thing as basically fixing the eigenvalues. Again, up to permutation. So what you've got basically is a datum that's fixed in the fundamental alcove of the Lie group, UN. Okay, so very similar picture. You've got nabla. You can forget. You get nabla. 0, 1 on sigma star. But then what you can do is you can fill in to sigma. And what happens if roughly you have a section, nabla s 0, it's flat near the punctures, so it's going to be multivalued. Oh, music. That's nice. Good. Flat near the puncture is multivalued. And maybe not so nice. OK, flat near the puncture, multivalued. And what you do, basically, is that this thing, as you go around, let's just suppose that you've lined up with one of the eigenspaces of the monodromy. You fix this up, multiply by, say, z to the alpha to get single value. OK, so you have flat sections, and you've got some power of the parameter, say, the puncture, of course, is at z equals 0. And you multiply it. So in other words, the flat sections and the holomorphic sections have different growth rates at the puncture. And because, essentially, this alpha, of course, is sort of symbolic for the different eigenvalues, you get different alphas. And so the information is you get a flag of growth rates, or a flag, if you want, given by growth rates at the punctures. Yes, a PhD in physics, but on the music is a little bit. Okay, so and again, what you if you go through this business, you can again do this game, and you get perhaps pi 1 sigma star to un conjugacy class alpha, or say alpha I at pi. Irreducible flat connections. Again, fixed. Well, conjugacy class here, in some sense, you have to take a logarithm because you're in the odd gauge. And again, now you get the moduli of stable parabolic bundles. So, E and flag. So there's a sort of joint stability condition on these things, and you get the same story. Now, in some sense, you're interested in these varieties of representations, and you'd kind of hope that this nice picture where you've got something symplectic here, complex here, would extend to all representations. And in fact, what happens is you can't. So the simple reason, for example, is that the data here is a set of eigenvalues. And so when you add in that extra data, the n variety might not even be even dimensional. So that basically is not going to work. So what you have to do is put in some extra data if you want to get all representations into some symplectic space. And so there's a very very nice paper due to Lisa Jeffrey where you get extended moduli. And essentially what you're doing is you put a space of flat connections. You actually don't fix the holonomy around the puncture, but rather the logarithm of the holonomy. So there's a sort of multivalued aspect to it. And the extra data is basically a trivialization at the puncture, or just next to it. So this actually sort of fattens things up by quite a few dimensions, but at least you get something that's symplectic and has all the data. And in fact, it's the space that Jeffrey and Kirwan used to great effect in computing the topology or the topological invariance of the moduli. Okay, so it's well, maybe just to see what this gives you. Here's the Riemann surface again. Saying I'm choosing L equal 2, so there are choose a base point basically just next to this thing. And as usual, I've got A cycles and B cycles. But I'm also going to add in a path C to, say C2 from P1 to P2, and little loops D2, D1 around these things. Okay, and the point is that you've got trivializations, so you've got a sort of canonical way of starting your integration or your connection. And because you've got a trivialization here, you get a good notion of what it is to integrate it from here to here. So you actually get an element of the group of UN. Around the puncture, as I said, you don't take so much the holonomy as its logarithm, so it's in the Lie algebra. And similarly, around the A and the B cycles, well, you get elements UN. So that this space, in fact, can be written as the set of AI, BI, CJ, and say delta K, where I goes from 1 to G, J goes from 2 to L, K goes from 1 to L. These lie in UN. These lie in the Lie algebra. And you have, of course, the constraint that the product of the commutators times, I suppose, exp of delta 1 times product over J, CJ, X with delta J, CJ inverse equals 1. In other words, you go around all the A cycles, you whiz around, then you do this one, then you go over here, go around this, you come back. And you do it for all these. Yeah. I don't go to the puncture. I just go next to it. It's flat anyway. So again, the Jeffrey. So I'll just say reps here. flat nabla plus trivializations. But then. Here, it doesn't quite work. There's also some things that are very, it's a space, the Jeffrey space is one with many virtues, but it does have a few faults. And one of them, well, one of them is it has a closed two form, which most of the time is symplectic, but fails. So, space fails to be symplectic when essentially exp of delta k and delta k, or delta I, whatever, k, have different stabilizers. So that's a problem. You see, if you sort of sitting, you draw the maximal torus of the only one I can draw for say, this is SU3, but basically, as long as you're sort of close to the origin, everything's fine. When you hit the edge, the outer edge of the fundamental alcove, for example, this corresponds to points in the center. Well, it's obviously not stabilized in the Lie algebra, but it's certainly stabilized in the group by the whole thing. And those are the points when the form goes bad. So it's not symplectic, and there's no clear theorem here. I should say, of course, this is the Narasimhan-Seshadri theorem. This is the, Mehta-Seshadri, Bikar, and so on. So these theorems somehow don't hold. On the other hand, there's a good candidate here for a space on the holomorphic side. Seshadri and eventually Huybrechts and Lane. Essentially build a moduli of bundles, E, with trivializations at the PI. Again, it's a nice space, but again, there are things that are sort of not quite desirable. For example, if you want to get a projective moduli space, you actually have to add in not only vector bundles, but sheaves that aren't locally free. and so again, there's a space that could go here, but it doesn't quite fit. And so that was the sort of question that I was trying to consider with. Together with Indranil Biswas and Usha Bhosla. So, and the solution is kind of goofy, in the sense that really all you'd have to do is, on the holomorphic side. Replace a trivialization by its graph. So a trivialization takes the point at the bundle at PI to just to CN. And so you replace a trivialization by its graph. In the Grassmannian of, I suppose, n planes in EPI, some CN. on the symplectic side, well, Jeffrey shows, in fact, that there's a natural symplectic Hamiltonian action of UN. So on the Jeffrey moduli exists a natural Hamiltonian action of UN. And all it is basically is just you act on the trivialization. It's a unitary bundle. It's trivialized at a point. You just act on that. And the moment map in the coordinates that I'd written out, is just takes the A's, B's, C's, and deltas. And, well, of course, there's a trivialization each puncture, but on the kth one, it just picks out delta K. Okay, so it's a very simple thing. And what you do then, so let's call the Jeffrey module, let's use a really original letter for moduli, M. And then all you do, then you just build the sort of Grassmannian moduli, which is just a diagonal quotient of M across the Grassmannians of N planes in 2N space. And you take a symplectic quotient. That's it. So the Grassmannians, you see, have U2n, of course, acts on the Grassmannians, but of course, this holds un inside it in two important ways. So for gr of n to n, there are essentially two actions of un. One as, well, un, the identity, the other as 1 un. Okay. So, and if you on graphs, in other words, thinking of GLN as living inside the Grassmannian, this is just the left and the right action. So you really should be thinking of the Grassmannian. In other words, is a bi-invariant compactification of GLN. And so there's a moment map for this, and you take its diagonal thing. And the nice thing is that because you're taking here, say, this is the standard action, this, you take the left action on this one, the two actions obviously commute, so you still have the right action here. And so you can still have a remaining, say, moment map action mu I to mu n, which in fact just lives on this last Grassmannian. Okay, so then the theorem might as well. GM, well, it's smooth and symplectic. So this actually fixes up the where the symplectic form goes bad. And some other points, because the trivializations, of course, make things a little bit more rigid and tend to make things smoother. As I said, you have mu I gm to un. And the image of mu I is basically, well, it's I over 2 times minus 1, 1 to the n. In other words, after You take the fundamental ALCO for UN and you orbit it by the Weyl group, you get that. These are the basic possibilities for if you want eigenvalues in the fundamental alcove. And so basically we had that the Jeffrey space was going bad when you hit the edge of the fundamental alcove. This has a moment map that just fills out that fundamental alcove. And when you do this diagonal quotient, you sort of fix everything up. And the other thing is you essentially get the parabolic moduli as UN quotients in the obvious way, in the sense that you fix a conjugacy class here, it'll be the alpha corresponding to that parabolic moduli. Now, it's a little bit of a special parabolic moduli in that in the Lie algebra, essentially that using the fact that pi I and minus pi I exponentiate to the same thing. normally these parabolic moduli, the flag is linked to the eigenvalues. Here they actually correspond to the same eigenvalues, but it's basically that you've taken, well, in the sort of flat connections business called a Schlesinger transform. So you put a twist into the into your flat connection. So it appears as extra data. But it's still basically a space of bundles with parabolic structure. Okay. On the holomorphic side, you look at the, if you want the space of bundles, E and GI, where again E is a vector bundle. And here I'm going to allow the degree to vary. So bundle of degree delta 0. GI belongs to the Grassmannian of E over the point PI sum CN. And you see, generically, this should be a graph of a trivialization. but not necessarily. So in fact, this gives two numbers. So I'll get them right. So SI will be the dimension of GI intersection with PI, and TI, the dimension of GI inter CDN. In other words, this is, for this to be a trivialization, you want S1, SI, and TI to be zero, because then it you've got E and C to the N. Your plane is giving the graph of an isomorphism. But you're allowing it to degenerate. There's a stability condition, which is just write the semi-stability. It's a little bit messy. So again, if you're building the moduli of these, you encode these things. It's now sort of fairly well established algorithm, but this one does have a few twists. So it's less or equal to ln over 2 minus delta 0 sum ti less or equal to ln over 2 plus delta 0. And then there's something messy. Which is that for subobjects, E prime and GI prime, 0 less or equal to delta 0 over n minus delta 0 prime over n prime plus some n prime minus si prime over n prime minus n prime minus si plus si prime. Having trouble with my own handwriting. Minus ti prime plus ti over n. Probably wrong. Look it up in the paper. It gives you a flavor of the type of things. So you're looking at subbundles, and it's the usual type of stability, except these sort of parameters come in. So perhaps the important thing is that if something is parabolic stable, it's Grassmann stable. So in other words, you're able to find all the parabolic things inside this business. So sorry, how am I doing? Okay. Well, there's more. Well, maybe just a theorem. There exists a projective moduli space. So in particular, you don't have to add sheaves. You can stay within the bundle world. What's more, basically, doing the same thing that you do for the parabolic bundles, in other words, you've got a flat local system. Well, if you know it, if it's covariant constant, you say it's holomorphic. And then you glue in at the punctures. There exists a map. So I'm going to try to remember to use, say, sort of, let's see now, script G. It's been a long time since I've done one of these. Oh, dear. Oh, well, there we go. GM. So I'll try to map from the GM to the, let's see, curly G. Well, oh, that's better. There we go. Graphically challenged. Where you just take the flat objects and you make them into holomorphic objects, they are automatically stable. But what's more is, you see, this is built as a GIT quotient of things living in projective space. So it's also a Kähler quotient. And we had this moment map. So we have the natural UN actions. And so basically what's important is commutes with the moment maps. So if I'm given an object here, I know where it should be mapping to here, or I know what it does map to here. But if it was coming from here, I know which element of UN it goes to. And this is important because when you do the analysis for the parabolic moduli and try to show to solve the variational problem, get back a flat connection, you have these scalings at the punctures that somehow you have to determine if you're going to do the analysis right. And so this gives you the scalings. Okay, so essentially just using results from the parabolic moduli. Phi is a homeomorphism. Well, if you. So using the results of Bicard and those who look after these things. And what's more, as you'd expect from this, with the reductions to parabolics. In other words, you've built a sort of universal space, both from the holomorphic end and the symplectic end, and they give you all these parabolic moduli. So in some sense, and no more data, which is kind of surprising. So you're getting them both from both sides. So it somehow is a very nice, nice situation. I should say one of the things that got us interested in this to start with was just the question of what the Narasimhan Seshadri theorem should look like for nodal curves. And the basic idea is that you can build a nodal curve by gluing two points together, and you can build bundles over the nodal curve by gluing the bundles over those two points. But to glue the bundles over the two points, you need trivializations that tell you how to glue it. So you can build, think of this, the moduli here is basically, and in first approximation at least, is being built from a gluing process of bundles with trivializations over marked points. And this is, in fact, a paper of Usha's about generalized parabolic bundles. All this to say is using the same ideas, you can build a symplectic version, and again, everything computes. And you can think, basically, of this case as being, well, almost, not quite, but birational to either a GIT quotient here or a symplectic quotient here of these moduli spaces. So it sort of almost works, but not quite. So it's a nice picture for the unitary case. But then what I think makes it more interesting is some very nice recent work of Martens and Thaddeus. So maybe something borrowed. So, Martens and Thaddeus. Where the problem they're looking at is compactifying a reductive group G. Now, if you want to build build G as a moduli space, well, what you can do is look at G bundles over a Riemann surface. But the Riemann surface you choose is just the Riemann sphere. And the essential thing is bundles over the Riemann sphere have this sort of quasi-rigidity. In a sense, they stay constant until at some subvariety, as you vary as you move through a family, they jump. So what you do, basically, is you can say that G is a suitable moduli, and you can rig things up so it's, in fact, trivial. G bundles over P1. You want a little bit more than that, because that's just a point as a moduli space. So what you put in is, say, trivialized at 0 and infinity. And the point is, if you've got here's your P1, 0, infinity, if you take a trivialization at 0, it extends, because the bundle is trivial, in a single fashion to the whole P1. And then you can compare the two trivializations at infinity, and that gives you your element of G. And then the question is, well, if you allow this to sort of expand a bit, move out, as it tends to be quite rigid. As long as the bundle stays trivial, you're going to stay inside G. And then you allow the sort of structure to pop, and you should be getting something that's trying to compactify G. Well, that's the idea, of course. It's not quite as simple as that, but it's a very nice. The result is actually, in some sense, more intriguing. You can use the following fact, that if you've got a bundle with two sort of bundle, I guess I'll call it P, trivialized at P and Q, this is basically the same data as a bundle at P, capital P, on this thing, and you basically just take this point and add in a P1 and put a Q hat here, say, and have a trivial bundle here, whatever your original bundle here, and trivialized. So you choose a Q hat, and of course a P. So if you take this bundle P, whatever it was, and trivialize it here and here, it's sort of like a blowing up operation, except there's nothing to blow up. But it's the same data. And so what what Martens and Thaddeus do is build a sort of bigger space of bundle chains. So these are just chains of P1 and two points, Q, P and Q. And you've got a bundle, a G bundle on this. And they build this space. They do it as a stack, and then they sort of turn it into a moduli space. And of course, there's some choices that are made. So they build moduli spaces. Essentially, with the stability corresponding to a choice of a polytope of W invariant. Polytope in the maximal torus, the compact group. So they build these moduli spaces, and it's a very, very beautiful paper. But it also has a symplectic picture. So this is a subsequent paper of theirs. Symplectic version, where they essentially adapt a construction of Woodward's symplectic cuts for a non-abelian group. And it's basically, in terms of this Grassmannian, let's just say depending on P, the polytope. Let's call the polytope P. I'm using P alone, aren't I? Anyway. There we go. The polytope P. So they build these symplectic cuts which depend on P. And they use it so it's, in fact, T star K. They call it P. So they start with the cotangent bundle of the compact form of the group and do this reduction. And take the moment map for this thing, and its image well, take someone to UN, with image while intersecting the torus at P. Okay, so the image is this polytope P. Now, all this is very enticing. In fact, I think they're trying to do this now. You see, from this point of view of bundles, you should start thinking of the compactification of bundles on an arbitrary Riemann surface as being obtained by tacking on these little chains of P1s to the punctures. There are some problems with their construction. Basically, this version here for G of adjoint form gives you back these wonderful compactifications of De Concini and Procesi. In the other cases, it's not quite as sort of semi-wonderful. And in fact, their construction doesn't quite give the thing in it, but it does illustrate the role of the polarization, which is basically this polytope. You see, to get for what we want, so again, using the sort of standard choice of a maximal torus of a Lie group chosen at random, i.e. SU3, their construction, basically, the polytope has to hit the walls orthogonally, which for SU3, basically, if you're looking at the vial orbit of the fundamental alcove, doesn't give you satisfaction. On the other hand, if you look at the vial orbit for the adjoint form, so I guess PU3, then it does. So it works well for these adjoint ones and gives you exactly what you should. For the others, it doesn't quite give you the space you'd want that would contain all the parabolic moduli. Anyway, so I'm roughly on time. I tried to think out what something blue would be, but I couldn't, so I'll stop here. Thank you. So, I mean, it works. I mean,
no, but I mean, you're describing parabolic bundles. What if there is only one?
Well, it still has, you can still have parabolic structures. I mean, like just like your extended moduli space works with one puncture. So it's the same thing. Well, that's where this would come in, basically. So this business of looking at the compactification. In other words, you want a substitute for the Grassmannian. So these things exist, and the question is finding the right one. And it should be linked to, it should be these, you want a bivariant compactification of the group. And these are basically determined by these polytopes in the and you want one that's basically is the Voronoi polytope for the Voronoi, the thing that in other words the set of points you take X inverse of the identity gives you a lattice, and you take the set of points that are closest to the origin. So it'd be, in other words, the thing that, other way of thinking is things that you get by orbiting the fundamental alcove.
So a G looks like real
N. Yeah.
What's N?
N? Where's, oh, dear, sorry. or K star, whatever. Sorry. Here, yeah. So with the Grassmannian, of course, it's un, right? So it's not sun. So it's actually the cube. I mean, it's the possible values. The eigenvalues, unordered. Yeah. So even sun is kind of complicated for this. I mean, the compactifications that are as nice as the wonderful compactifications that you get for the adjoint forms is still sort of not really comfortable. So this is actually a very nice result because it sort of gives you this uniform. And what's pretty is, of course, it ties it to the geometry of the bundle. So it's very beautiful. Yeah, it's more that you do the cut, so you end up the moment map only takes values in the. I just did it for UN. I mean, this is their stuff.
So this is an indication.
This is what they're sort of, yeah. So that. I mean, by taking the product with the Grassmannian and reducing, of course, then the moment map is constrained to have values in the polytope. Basically. So it's. That's an open problem. No, it's what it should be if you do the parameter count. But so I'm just. Yeah. Yes, it is. So something with n squared and g and things in it, but yeah. Yeah. So certain things I refuse to do in public. Yeah, Bhima.
Sorry?
From that point of view, ask Lisa. Sorry, I'm offhand. I mean, it should be. You mean the explicit form of the thing? Well, I think your paper with Guru Prasad had that. Could the surfaces be punctured? For coffee, I think. Yeah. Okay, thanks.